I'm really stirred in my heart because time is short. And sometimes we get distracted. Or there's things in this life that try to distract us or get our attention or our focus on. We all know that. We all experience that. But I'm telling you, we need to lift up our heads because our redemption draws nigh. And as I was mentioning earlier, we need to become more aware. Amen. It's an exhortation to us today to become more aware of the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God truly wants to manifest and show forth Jesus. He wants to bring forth the goodness of the Lord, the healing of the Lord. If God anointed Jesus in this earth, then is there a different purpose for His anointing upon our life? Are we the body of Christ? Are we one with Him? Do we have the same purpose? Did He tell us to follow Him? Is He our example? Then we must be aware. You know, Jesus was aware. He was very conscious of the anointing and the Spirit of God upon Him, because everywhere He went. Now, we read it in Luke chapter 4. But in other places He went, He would declare. What would He declare? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me. He was aware of what we were singing. It was that awareness and that consciousness that He flowed in and ministered in and from. Praise the Lord. Likewise. Praise God. So, when I say stirred, I mean I have to set my affection, of course. But I also know His affection is on me and you. That's part of being one. We're co-laborers together. You know, we've been studying in the epistle of 1 Corinthians. And just a few services ago, Paul talked about how we are co-laborers together with Him. Praise God. What a privilege that is. And you know what? He's empowered us. He's equipped us with His Spirit and with His Word. Praise God. And with ministry gifts. Ministers of reconciliation. Ministers of this new covenant for such a time as this. Praise God, I'm telling you. And you know what? You have to be mindful of this, because the more you're mindful of this and you become aware of certain things, then there is a stirring. You know, Peter said it like this. He said, I want to stir you up. 2 Peter, I want to stir you up to the church. I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You know, when you begin to remember, when you are put in remembrance, that is a way or a means whereby God can stir you. Hallelujah. When you are put in remembrance, when you remember, when you set your affection on the Lord, when you're aware of His presence of the Holy Ghost, because He's here not only to minister to you and reveal things to you, but He's here to also minister through you, okay? When you are conscious and aware and you begin to remember, or when someone puts you in remembrance, that is a way or a means whereby God is able to stir you. I mean, you could stir your own self up in the Holy Ghost. You can pray and pray in the Spirit and these kind of things, but God uses people to visit us, to speak to us. Matter of fact, you got your Bibles? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and let me pray here. Father, thank you. As we approach your word today, I thank you, Lord, for utterance. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here today to not only grant utterance, but to bring light and understanding and revelation and to minister things to us that will be so helpful to us. Not only for that which is now this day, but even in the weeks and months to come, to help us in 2019 to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, fully pleasing. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. We endeavor and desire with all our heart to glorify you and to glorify Jesus and to honor you today. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm going to say this to you. The Lord, I think, gave me some things here in this chapter. We're going to chapter 4. Maybe a little bit different, but I believe the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And I believe this is so needful and necessary for today, for the church in general, specifically us. But this applies. Because this letter was written to all the church, right? Not just to the church at Corinth. Amen? So, let's start with verse 1. Paul writing here to the church at Corinth, he said, "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." I want to read that again. Let a man, or could be let a woman, so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. I got a question. Do we account, do we esteem ministers of Christ? When we talk about account, we talk about esteem. Do we account not only ministers of Christ, but stewards of the mysteries of God? You know, back earlier, now I'm going to pull some things from the previous chapter because I think I want to speak to you a little bit in context here. Paul said, "I can't speak to you certain things because you're carnal." Then he began to even mention certain things where that carnality was being exposed or what we'd say operating in that church. People would say, "Well, I'm of a Paul, I'm of Apollos." And yet, they really didn't account and understand ministry gifts. Ministers of Christ. Stewards of the mysteries of God. We're going to see here at the end of this chapter where Paul shares some things and says some things about him being a father in Christ, about there being 10,000 instructors, but there's not many fathers, and yet we're to follow him and to follow his example. Okay? We'll look at this because I think it's all in context here. Now, there's certain things we can draw out of it, but I think it's all connected. Okay? I don't want to share these things with you. Praise God. It's very important today that we honor and esteem what God has given us. Now, there's been abuse. Now, see, it's very, in one way, it's difficult for me to sort of share these things. In one sense, because I stand in the office of a ministry gift. And so I've seen people abuse their office. Okay? But you know there's a true. Do you know in 1 Thessalonians? Hold your place right here. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And see, I actually told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm a little bit hesitant about this, to be honest with you. Because I don't like to stand up in front of people and say things about something that I'm sort of called to and in, because it can come across the wrong way. And he just flat out spoke to me and said, I want you to preach my word. You preach my word. My spirit will bear witness in the hearts of people. They've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. They can know and they can hear and they can listen and they can discern. But you preach the word. Matter of fact, we'll see this here in just a second, what Paul's talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice here in verse 12 it says, and we beseech you, brethren. I mean, Paul's beseeching. This is his first epistle that he wrote. This is his first letter, 1 Thessalonians is. Paul wrote and said, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now notice verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourself. He said we're to know and we're to esteem very highly. He said here in 1 Corinthians, he said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. There's true ministers, there's true ministries, there's proper esteem, and yet there's been so much abuse. Even today, we've seen so much abuse in this area. But we must understand that Paul is an example, and I'll show you here just shortly, if time permits. I'll show you in the Scriptures. I'll show you what he was trying to convey, I believe, with all of my heart, to the church. Glory to God. You know, Jesus even talked about that a prophet is without honor except in his hometown. He talked about honor. Now, we know it's Jesus, right? But we know also in Ephesians chapter 4 that Jesus, the head of the church, gave gifts unto men. Now let me say something to you. We're not putting ministry of gifts above people. We're all on the same playing field here. The Bible tells us we're to honor all men. But let me say something to you. There should be an esteem, because that's what the Scripture says. Now listen to me. This is where I had to deal with my own deal here, because I had to follow what the Lord said. He said, what does my word say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? What does my word say? He said there, and the reason is because I believe the Lord was speaking in my heart. There is a complacency. There is a lack of esteem in the church today. You know, y'all can... Some of the older folk in here, at least my age and older, can witness to this. You know, when I was younger, even heathen, what we call good old boys, it was what we call just flat out, they were sinners. But yet, if they got around a preacher, there was respect there. And they would call them preacher. Back then, when I grew up, they called them preacher. They didn't call them pastors or, you know, things like that. They just called them preacher. And by the very fact that they would call him preacher, so-and-so, yes, sir, preacher, there was a respect there, there was esteem, even though they knew in their own lives, you know what I mean? They weren't living for God or following after God, but there wasn't a respect there. You know, we've lost some of that, especially in this society. And the Bible tells us, listen, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times will come. One of the signs of perilous times is unthankfulness, ungratefulness, and disrespect. Are you listening to me this morning? Glory to God. I'm telling you right now, we need to account men and women as ministers of God. Now, we're all ministers of reconciliation, every one of us. And so we're to esteem and honor that role in itself. But what Paul is talking about here is because there is an abuse. There is a lack of respect. We know it, the world's that way. We know it's in the world, but some of that is bled over into the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Praise God. You know, everyone is really stewards. We're all stewards. We're all entrusted. Praise God. Well, let me ask you a question. Is everyone found faithful? You know, faithfulness and being faithful is key. Matter of fact, from the Lord Himself, we all want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We all want to hear those words. That's another thing that we see in perilous times in these last days that is not what it used to be. A lack of faithfulness. There's a spirit of unfaithfulness in this earth. You see it in the marketplace. You see it everywhere. And here's the thing. My point is, we're not to walk as other Gentiles walk. Paul talked about here in this epistle, he said, you're carnal. And he listened to this. He said, you walk as mere men. In other words, you're walking and operating just like people who are not believers. That natural mindedness, when we talk about carnal, it's just a natural thinking. It's not a spiritual mindedness. You're not thinking about the things of the Spirit. You're not thinking about the things of God. You're just thinking natural. That's what he's talking about. And yet, he carries this over into chapter 4, okay? It's still connected, guys. We talked about this. Even though there's many things that we can draw from, we can glean from individual scriptures, yet, in all of his letters, you'll see a common thread or a theme or a context that bleeds over from chapter to chapter. Sometimes it'll go several chapters. And yet there, once again, I agree, there's individual scriptures and things that we can get revelation from and can apply in certain situations and instances in our lives. But yet, it's always good to see things in context and allow God to show you the bigger picture. Praise the Lord. Everyone is stewards. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's keep moving here. He says this in verse 3. He says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord's. Now, there's many things that could be said here, but I just want to say this to you. In plain and simple terms, as plain as I can say it, you cannot allow or let the opinions of people to affect your life. Do you know how many people, even Christians, allow the opinions of others to affect them or what people think? Do you know how that can in itself become a great distraction and hindrance in people's lives? It can be such a distraction and hindrance that it can absolutely keep people from walking in the perfect will of God. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1, I'll read this to you if you want to go there. It's just the next book over. But Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We saw this in the early church where the apostles were threatened. He said, we command you to not preach or teach or do anything in that name, talking about the name of Jesus. Well, who did they listen to? Peter and him said, listen, do what you got to do, but we got to obey God. We can see this on a, what we call a major, more sincere level, But let me tell you something. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. Sometimes we allow people to persuade us to do things that may be good, but it's not God. There's only one letter between good and God, and oh, what a difference. And yet, we let people have influence over us because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And listen, we're not into hurting people's feelings, but sometimes we are swayed, in a direction which really we shouldn't go or yield to or do. It's okay to say no sometimes. You've heard that before, right? Listen, we can say no in a loving way. We don't have to be rude or haughty or anything like that. But we need to pay attention. And Paul said this, he said, listen, to me it's a very small thing for you to judge me. Because in the end, we know who's going to judge all, right? And every man will receive his reward for his work. We've covered that in previous services. Amen? The light will declare it. The light will make manifest. Nothing will be hid, right? Everything will be rewarded. Right? We talked about that. I'm not going to go back into that. But it's important, guys, that we understand what Paul's saying here. You know, we all deal with this. Because if you care, if you truly care about people, this will come into play. Now, if you're just self-centered and it don't matter, you're just full of pride and it's all about you, you won't probably won't deal with this a whole lot. Because everybody thinks you're a rear end anyway. Pardon my French. Sorry about that on the camera there. But if you truly care about people, listen to what I'm saying. If you truly care about people, you'll deal with this. But you have to realize it's all better to obey God. I've seen this with families. Do you know Jesus said? Now listen to me. Does Jesus love us? You know, we used to sing it when we was a kid. Jesus loves me. This I know. Do you know that Jesus said, if a man will put his mother or her daughter, it could be son, dad, wife, even himself before me, listen to this, he cannot be my disciple. I want to ask you a question. Did he say that or did he not say it? I said, did he say that or did he not say it? Does he still love us? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Did he say it? Did he mean what he said? Is he trying to be mean to us? Listen, he wants us to follow him. And oh, by the way, if we'll follow him and not be persuaded and moved by men and allow the judgment of men and people to interfere with our heart, he'll take care of the other end. You remember he told Peter concerning John, what is that to you? Talking about the way John would serve with him, fulfill his life, his ministry, the end of his ministry. What is that to you, Peter? Follow me. Jesus is not wanting to be rude, mean, inconsiderate. But I want to say it to you again. Paul said, it is a very small thing to me that you judge me. You know, that's a good attitude to have. That's not an arrogant attitude. We're going to see that it's not a selfish attitude. It's not a selfish attitude. Glory to God. Matter of fact, we'll see how selfish Paul really was. Y'all ready to see how selfish Paul really was? Praise God. Amen. Where are we here? Let's pick it up in verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure, transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. For whose sakes? did Paul say for my sake? So we're already getting some clues here. Are you listening to me? We're getting some clues. These things are for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Now see, he's talking about ministers. He's talking about faithful ministers, stewards of the mysteries of God, how important that is. But yet, he's not talking about getting your focus on men, praise God. His focus is on the Lord, the head of the church, and what he called him to, and the ministry that he gave him for all of us. We see that in Ephesians chapter 3. He said, God has revealed all these things to me for you, for your sakes. Right? That the will of God and the word of God be fulfilled in all of us through what God gave Paul. Okay? He realized how important it was. And he says this, you shouldn't be puffed up one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Verse 7. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Wow. Can I give you another thing here? Just a little side note here, because I want to move on and connect the part, what God's really put in my heart to finish this service up. But on a side note, because I did want to cover this right here. You know, everything we have is because we've received it from the Lord. Let me say something to you. James chapter 1 says, every, what does every mean? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. Anything good in your life, it was given to you from above. And what Paul was saying here, why do you carry on in your life? Why are you puffed up? Why do you look at yourself like you're a self-made man? That everything you have is because of you. Really, what everything you have, if it's good, is because of God's goodness and grace in your life. And it's something you receive from the Lord, whether you acknowledge it or not, it came from His hand. Because every good gift is from above. Matter of fact, Jesus was a little more straightforward when he was with his disciples in the upper room when he said this. He said, let me just go ahead and break something to you boys. Without me, you can do nothing. What does nothing mean? I think nothing includes a lot of different things, not just two. So what Paul is saying here is we need to be so mindful and conscious of God's love and goodness in our life. Let me tell you something. That'll keep you from that spirit that's present in these last days. That Paul told Timothy, he said, in the last days, perilous times will come. One of the things is people will be unthankful. That's a sign of the last times, is ungratefulness, self-centeredness. The Bible says men will be lovers of themselves. And they will be ungrateful and unthankful. Paul's saying right here, let me just help you guys. What do you have that you really didn't receive? And why do you act like you didn't receive it? Because the truth is, you received it. Why? Because everything good comes from Him. Oh, hallelujah. You know, that's why the Scripture says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. That's why the Scripture says, in everything, give thanks unto Him. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. He goes on this in verse 8. He says, now you are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even on this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you. Let me say this to you now. Here we go. He's connected. What he's about to say here is connected to the first verse of this chapter. Do you know that Paul, a minister of grace, nobody's ever preached grace like Paul's preached grace. And yet he says, listen, I'm going to say some things to you and share some things with you, not to shame you. I never speak these things to beat you up, to condemn you. To shame you means to be hard on you, to put you under a burden. But I share these things to warn you, to make you aware, so you be totally full of light and that there be no darkness entering into your understanding. You know, the Bible says we're not to walk as other Gentiles walk, having their understanding darkened. God wants us full of light. The entrance of His words bring light. And yet what He's saying here is so vital. He said, I write not these things to shame you, but as beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have we not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance, listen to this, of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Wow. Let me say this to you. What Paul was trying to say here, notice some things that he said. He said in verse 9, we were made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. You know what he was saying? What he was saying here is everything that I sacrifice and go through, everything that I experience is for your sake. Because I know what kind of profit it will bring to you and what it will do for your life. If people will esteem and honor and respect and understand what God has set in the earth and set in the church. We see over here later, we're going to get to it, how God set certain things into the church. God set them in the church. We've already established that God has chosen and ordained the foolishness of preaching. Now, it's not foolishness with God. Matter of fact, it's the wisdom of God and it's the power of God. But the word or the term foolishness is there just to let people see that there's people who don't esteem that or value that. And yet, what Paul was saying is this is just one place in the Bible. There's other places that we see where what he encountered and what he went through. And he said, all of this is to what it can bring to you, how it can benefit and profit you. It wasn't about him being benefited and profited. I'm going to tell you something, guys. Can I say something to you? That's a little opposite of what we see today, even in ministries and ministers. Now, as the old saying goes down here in the South, I is one. Talking about a minister. And like I said a while ago, sometimes when I say some of these things, I'm not trying to bring any dishonor on any office or any gift that Jesus has established in the church. But guys, there are things. There's people that are really not willing to sacrifice of themselves. If there's ever a day where men are lovers of themselves, See, once again, this is a sign of the last time. And this even bleeds over into ministries and ministers of the gospel. That's why Paul starts out talking about ministers of Christ. Matter of fact, if you go back to chapter 3, when he talked about every man's work and what is built upon, how he laid a foundation, and if anybody will defile the temple of God, then God will destroy, or that work will be burned because it doesn't really profit people. See, he's not changing context here. Really, it applies to each and every one of us as believers, as Christians, but I'll be honest with you, I think in chapters 3 and 4 here, he's addressed in ministers as well. Just like over in Jeremiah, addressed about shepherds, where God would raise up shepherds after his own heart. Not hirelings, but true shepherds, because they truly care about people. And it's not about themselves. Listen, let me tell you something. I realize, now guys, understand my heart here. Well, it's a very small thing for you to judge me. How can I? I'll just go ahead and throw that out there. I realize that there is a business side or a government side in the church. The Bible talks about governments. So there's a business side. So don't, listen, I like to say this. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But God never called CEOs to the church. He called ministry gifts. He called pastors. You've got people today that really are not willing to sacrifice the way Paul sacrificed. They've got to have certain things. You got certain ministers who won't even come pastor a church because the package is not right. But I'm just serious. I'm just saying that's what you have. I'm not saying this is in every church. So don't. Why do you think Paul had to say these kind of things? Why do you think he says, I sent Timothy to show you of my ways? You know, there was a way that Paul was. There was also things he taught in every church. He taught the gospel of grace, the grace of Christ. We know that in Galatians chapter 1. But his ways was the way he was. It was his heart. And he's communicating that right now. And he sent Timothy also to other churches because he didn't have anybody else that was truly as like-minded and thought the same way concerning these things as Timothy did. And yet we see this. Can I give you a couple examples right quick? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I mentioned that this was his first epistle. I'll show you what he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then I'm going to give you an example of it in the book of Acts. And then I'm going to make a statement to you. And I'll connect it to a scripture here. And I believe you'll get the context of everything I'm saying this morning. And I want to emphasize the word context. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Let's back up. Verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. First of all, he talks about, here again, he's trying to display and share his heart on how he came to the people and where his heart was. But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who trieth our hearts. Now notice this. Are y'all ready for this? Here's his ways. When he said, I'm going to send Timothy to show you of my way. In other words, the way I am, the way I think, my heart. Here it is. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you. It's not about everybody looking at us and telling us how great we are. Nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. Everything he did was because of the love for people. He saw, if anybody had a revelation of John 3:16, it was Paul. If anybody knew, for God so loved the world, it was Paul. And yet, everything that he went through, everything, it wasn't about covetousness. It wasn't about what I can get out of it. It wasn't about my compensation. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the package, the severance package. It wasn't about any of that. It was because people were dear to him, not only so he could go preach the word, but he desired to pour out his own soul. There's a lot of people that like to come preach their revelation. And they like to ride into town and preach and teach and show you how good they are and how they can wax eloquent. But is the people, is their souls dear to them? Here's a proven point. Let me give you an example of this. I want to ask you a simple question. We're going to read an example. And I want to ask you, before we get there, and I'll ask you this question again, how many people do you think today would do this? You ready? Go with me to Acts chapter 13. And then I'm going to close out with a scripture at the end of this chapter, chapter 4, that I think is in context and is connected to everything he's talking about. Acts chapter 13. Blessed be the Lord. We see in Acts chapter 13, let me get to the verse here. This is where Paul came, to Antioch. Okay? When we see here in Antioch that they went into the synagogue, and then, of course, when the people in the synagogue, they said, "Hey, is anybody here have anything to say?" The Bible says Paul stood up. He had plenty to say. And of course, he began to share things. And we pick it up, and he spoke things, glory to God. We see in verse 44, after he spoke these things, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews, this is verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Now listen, Just hang on. He went in and preached the gospel. This is literally, probably, if you want to see one of Paul's sermons and you want to break it down, you go back and read previous verses here and you'll see what he preached in context. But anyway, he preached these things. The next Sabbath, listen, almost the whole city came out. All right? Verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Look at verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. Okay, and they were Antioch, then they came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And so it came to pass in chapter 14, we see here that they came to Iconium. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But, verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Of course, we know against Paul. Right? You see that? Let's get on down here. For time's sake, let's go on down to verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Because after this, Paul left. Listen, Paul came to Antioch, then he went to Iconium, then he went to Lystra. And for time's sake, I got to hurry here just for the time on the clock. I want to share this with you. Listen to what I'm saying. Paul came to Lystra, preached there, man was healed. I'm telling you, praise God, impotent from his mother's womb. He preached the gospel to him, perceived the man had faith. The man was raised up. And then we see in verse 19, it says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he was dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. So listen to this. We see a man who went and preached the gospel. We see a man, according to what he preached, caused a stir. Even so much that people from Antioch and Iconium came to him at Lystra, and they got a hold of him, and they stoned him, and they killed him. Everybody knows that Paul was stoned to death. Theologians say they actually murdered him. Two people who came, who's the two people that it came from? Antioch and Iconium. These people came and killed him. And the power of God and the believers got around him and raised him up. Now, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Raised him up. Howbeit, as the disciple, verse 20, howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And he began to ordain elders. I want to ask you a question. How many ministers do you know today would go back into the very city from the people that laid hand on him and murdered him? It might mess with their severance package. In other words, they might not get one if they're dead. God wants his people blessed. God wants double honor even on people who preach the gospel. Paul said, if you live from the gospel, preach the gospel, you should live from it. We'll talk about those things later. We're not talking about preaching poverty or keeping people in poverty, preachers or anything else. We're talking about the way he was. We're talking about his heart. We're talking about what was dear to him. We're talking about what really meant something to him. And we're talking about that very thing is the very thing he stood up and said, this is what you need to follow this way. You know why? Can I close out with a scripture? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In context, verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I wrote this down. Divine love. I'm talking about, listen guys, we know this ain't natural human love. Because even natural human love is selfish. That's my baby. That's my boy. That's my girl. We're talking about a divine love. Divine love, especially, I put this in parentheses, especially when it comes to people, is where the power of God will be seen and manifested. Divine love, especially when it comes to people. And when I talk about divine love, I'm talking about living and walking in divine love, especially when it comes to people, is where the power of God will be seen and manifested. If you take everything in context of what he talked about, how he was despised, how he suffered, everything was for their sake. He talked about ministers and being faithful stewards of the mysteries of God, and yet going through what he went through, and yet the very way that he was, he sent Timothy to share this with people. And we look at other scriptures. I gave you two examples in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, and I gave you the book of Acts, where you see his heart and you see where his heart really is. You really see the way he was. Not just what he taught in the church, but the way he was. He said, I'll send Timothy to show you of my ways and what I teach. It's two different things. When John 3:16 is truly a revelation to us, and when it is about people more than it is about ourselves, we'll see the anointing and the power of God manifest through us like we've never seen it before. To the very degree that Paul said this out of his own mouth, we'll see it later. He said, I'm telling you right now, God has delivered me, he doth deliver me, and he will yet deliver me. He saw the power of God. And let me say something to you. If Paul was selfish, and I believe had the motive and intent that some ministries and ministers and people do today that are self-centered, lovers of themselves, he said this. He talked about people even Philippians. He said, their God is their own belly. Even now, I write this letter weeping. Because it's not about the people. Now see, I don't say this to shame you. I'm going to be like Paul here. I'm not saying any of this to shame any of us in here. But I am saying this to exhort us. I beseech you, brethren. When we really begin to move and operate in the love of God and then the dwelling in the love. Dwelling in the love of God, yes, it's the love that God has towards us. We know that. But when you start getting hold of that, you also have attached with that God is not a respecter of people. And we're not puffed up and we don't look at people and we don't compare ourselves and we're not saying, well, I'm of this and I'm of that. Well, I follow this and I follow that and I follow Apollos and I follow Paul. He said, that is carnal. I can't even talk to you about things that really matter. And yet in the same context, he brings this into play. Because when it's about divine love and it's about others and it's truly about for God so loved the world, we'll see more of the glory and the manifestation and the goodness of God through our lives. Thank you for that amen phrase there. Can you see it? Does it make sense to you? Next chapter, it's going to be a doozy. This is when there's some stuff in the church. This is when we get to talk about correction. People can't take correction. Why? Because they're lovers of themselves. In the last days, they qualify them people that's lovers of themselves. You know, the Word of God is given to correct and instruct. Now, the Word will do it. It's to give and to correct. Now, we do it, like I said, not to shame people, not to condemn people, but it's still given to correct and to instruct. Matter of fact, Paul told Timothy to rebuke. Well, I'll tell you what, that don't go over in Grace churches today. It's in the Bible. Now listen, and like I said, I just told you Paul's heart. Our souls are poured out to you. You're dear to us like a nurse, a child. We love you. We're not in it for self-gain or self-glory. We're not in it to seek glory from people or anybody else. We're not in it for money. It's not about this. You're dear to us. But they were so dear to him that he wanted the best for them. He wanted them to experience God's best. And he didn't want anything, whether it was the old religious rule and legalism entering into the church, getting people under the law, to the very point that people are yielding themselves to such immorality things, to just immoral things and immorality and things in the church that they think it's just okay. Because we're under grace, can we sin? God forbid. But his heart was for people to have the best, to experience everything of the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is not just in word, it's in power. And yet there's an attitude, there's a revelation, there's an insight to these things that help us walk and experience the power of the kingdom of God in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Y'all stand up just for a second. A couple of things. Yeah, we're going to receive our offering. Alan's got something in his heart. I want to say this to you while he comes up. I want you to stretch your feet a little bit. Amen. Won't hurt you to stand for a minute. I stand. Whole service. Praise the Lord. I have to stand up all the time. But it's good to get your blood circulation. Let me say this to you. Two things before I turn this over. Let him receive this and say what's on his heart. Tonight is discipleship class at 5:30. 5:30 to 6:30 is the first Sunday night of the month. First Sunday night of the month is discipleship class. 5:30 to 6:30 right here. Secondly, listen guys, in a couple of weeks, we've got a treat coming. Larry and Angela Keaton will be here on the 20th. They will be here in our morning service, and we will have a 6 o'clock p.m. service with Larry and Angela. Two things that Larry and Angela flow in. They flow with the Spirit in their services. They flow together. The Holy Spirit uses them to flow together, minister things, utterance, gifts, and they also minister along the lines of healing. Just God has just graced them. We talked about it today. I account Larry and Angela Keaton as ministers and ministry gifts from heaven. I don't look at them as just mere men. I look at them as what God has given to the body of Christ, and I am thankful for every good and every perfect gift. Every means they're included in that. And I'm excited about having them in this church. We're praying for those meetings. I'm telling you right now, it is needful. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to those services. I want to make you aware of those services so you can make sure it's on your calendar and come and be with us and just have a wonderful time. It's the 20th, January 20th. Today is the 6th. So that means it's 2 weeks from today. You got the 13th next Sunday, and then you got seven more. 13 and 7 is 20. It's on the 20th. That's it. Alan, go ahead.
Amen. And we account you as a minister of God.
Amen.
Praise God. I appreciate the fact that over the last almost 30 years, you poured into our hearts and life, and you introduced us to the message of grace.
Amen.
Praise God. You can be seated for just a moment. If you're going to give in the offering this morning and you're making out a check, make it out to Grace Family Church or GFC. If you need an envelope, Brother Jim and Brother Lee have one. Amen. That was meat and potatoes, sir. And I'm dessert. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to read you a verse from Psalm chapter 1. I texted this to Roger the other day because Melissa and I have been chewing on some things lately. Y'all can go ahead and receive, guys. This is Psalm chapter 1. This is from the Message translation. I love the way this reads. He says, "How well God must like you." Amen. Now, if the first thing you thought was of something you did wrong and God probably didn't like you, then we need to think like a new creature. See, David is prophesying here about the new covenant. How well God must like you. You know, you ought to get up every morning with that consciousness about how much He likes you. He says, you don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. Praise God. The new creature. Amen. When you know how much God likes you and loves you, those things never enter your mind. Amen. He says here, instead, you're thrilled to God's Word. And I love this. You chew on Scripture day and night. You chew on Scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month. Now, what I love about that is how many trees do you know that bear fruit every month of the year? But God's people can bear fresh fruit every month. You know, your business can bear fresh fruit every month. Your health can bear fresh fruit every month. Your finances can bear fresh fruit every month. Amen. Praise God. And He says, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. That's right. Right. Amen. Supernatural. You know, I told you guys about the relative that I had that fell and broke her ankle, and all she would say constantly, almost every time I talked to her, 4, 5, 6 times, every time I talked to her, I'm so exhausted. I'm just so exhausted. And I mentioned to you guys how the Lord had dealt with Melissa and I. She was creating that in her life and reinforcing it. She didn't even realize it. You know why you don't realize it? Because it doesn't manifest immediately. Everything works like a seed. There's a gestation period. So the Lord dealt with Melissa and I to start saying things like, I am so strong. I am so blessed. I'm so prosperous. Amen. Because we're creators. And we can talk this way about what Psalms 1 is talking about. I'm so prosperous. I blossom. Amen. My tree bears fruit every month. You know, back after that happened, I was about to go into the busiest time of my year. Every year in the fall is the busiest time of our work, and we work solid. It's not just physical work. I know everybody works. You know, I love the quote from the movie Dumb and Dumber when he said, you can't find a job in this town unless you want to work 40 hours a week. You know, everybody works full time, but during this part of the year, it's not just physical work in the time. It's mental. It's stress. It's training. It's things throwing new at you, being tested. And we also made the decision that we were going to go to school full time. And what were we thinking? So the Lord began to stir us up and quicken to us to start saying, we have plenty of time, plenty of money, plenty of strength and ability, plenty of wisdom, plenty of anointing to do everything we need to do. And we started saying that. We started planting that seed in our heart, knowing what was coming up, a busy season. And I can tell you guys, now Melissa will tell you that in years gone by, I've done this for nearly 10 years, that after December the 7th, we usually work till midnight that day. After all that weeks of time, I need about 3 hours of sleep, and I don't get vertical for a while. Sometimes more. But I can tell you of a truth and testify to you that after speaking that for those months, that at midnight on December the 7th, I felt so much energy I could have done it again. I knew the strength of God was in me. We had plenty of time. Did we miss anything? We were ahead on our school. We never missed a thing. We had such favor with our bosses that we had time to go to school on Saturdays and things like that. And we could have done it again. That strength was in us. We began to chew on that. You know, if you're dealing with, you know, the Lord says, if let the weak say I'm strong. Not the strong say I'm strong. You don't just say it when you feel like it. When you feel your weakest is when you have to say, I'm so strong. If you're depressed, you have to start saying, I'm happy. I'm so happy. I'm so glad. Not when you just left a Christmas party and you're feeling good. It's when the depression tries to come on, you have to start saying, I am so happy. I am so full of joy. Amen. Everybody deals with things like that. You know, I not only did I know, not know what was coming up with the time of our work, but what I didn't know was, is when I got through with that, and December 7th came and went, and I thought, I've got some time off from work. The holidays are coming. I'm going to spend time with my kids and my grandbaby, and we're going to open presents and eat and watch football. The Friday before Christmas, my dad called me and said, son, something's wrong, and I need to go to the hospital. Now, for him to say that, the sky is falling. And you talking about 400 pounds of don't want to come on you. I did not want to deal with that. But the Lord began to deal with me about that law of polarity that said, and I began to say, I'm so unselfish. See, I was thinking about what I wanted. But you know what you need, we know exists in the Spirit. You may be dealing with the polar opposite of it right now. I didn't want to, but I started saying, I'm so unselfish. You know, we spent the holidays in the hospital, in the nursing home. But during all that time, we were full of joy. We never missed a beat. We got to spend time with our family and our kids. We got to eat all we wanted to and watch plenty of football. And we still got to spend time with Dad. Amen. Because we began to say that. Let me read you another verse here. Psalm 44:3. This will kind of go with what you were saying today, Roger. Psalm 44:3 says, they got not their land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But by thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. You know, we were able to breeze through that busy time and all this situation with my dad, not by our own power or strength, because the Lord had favor on us. I love the Amplified. It says, because you were favorable toward them and did delight in them. Say, He delights in me. He delights in me. Say, the Lord really likes me. The God's Word says, they did not gain victory with their own strength. It was your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence that did it. The light of His presence. Another translation said, they did not conquer by their own strength and skill, but by your mighty power, because you smiled upon them and favored them. Say, the Lord is smiling on me. Praise God. The Lord is smiling on you. That's how come. You know, He sings songs of deliverance over you. We've heard that verse before. You know, we sing things all the time about deliverance, but you know, He looks at you and says, you're no longer a slave to fear. You are a child of God. Can you imagine the Lord singing that over you? Victory in Jesus, your Savior forever. Praise God. He's singing those things over you. Amen. And this is my favorite here. The Message says, God gave us a fresh start. Can you believe for a fresh start in 2019? Say, fresh start. We didn't fight for this land. We didn't work for it. It was a gift. You gave it, smiling as you gave it. Praise God. You know, we've got to think like inheritors. Not toilers, not laborers, but inheritors. Amen. Inheritors. Now, certainly we have to do what we have to do, but you know, you're not going to gain victory and gain the type of prosperity that your heart desires by just working hard. Amen. Supernatural things coming to you. Praise God. Here's a couple other verses that you own, and we'll finish up here. Melissa and I found this one the other day, and we've been shouting glory ever since we found it. Especially for those of us that are north of the age of 50. This is Deuteronomy 7:15 from the Wycliffe translation. Praise God. He said, the Lord shall do away from thee all ache. The Lord shall take away thy aches and pains. Praise God. Can you say the Lord will take away my aches and pains? Praise God. The Lord will take away my aches and pains. You ought to get up every morning saying that. Praise God. Deuteronomy 7:15 from the Wycliffe translation. And I love this. The Lord, the first part said the Lord will do away with it. He's doing away with my aches and pains. Praise God. He's doing away. Deuteronomy 7:15 from the Wycliffe translation. Like I said, for those of you, if you're over 50 especially, but hey, you know what? There's a lot of young. I deal in my business, a lot of people think I just deal with people over 65. I deal with a lot of people that are on full disability that are as young as we are. And I deal with them all the time when I look in their eyes and I think they're 25 or 30 years older than me and they're 20 years younger than me. Praise God. So it doesn't just apply to older people. Amen. The Lord's going to take away our aching pain. Can you believe that? Can you speak it over your life? Amen. And plant that seed and water it and hold on to it. Praise God. And watch it happen. And then finally, here's another one to chew on. Psalm 65:11 from the Modern English Version. He says, you crown the year with your goodness. Say, He crowns my year with His goodness. 2019 is crowned with goodness. And your paths drip with abundance. You know, we walk with Him. Are you walking with Him today? Praise God. Are you a new creature in Christ? Do you live in Him? You know, I mentioned this to you before. We say all the time, in Him I live and move and have my being. But you know what? In you He lives and moves and has His being. We're walking with Him. And those paths drip abundance. And the year 2019, I declare over you guys and over my life, is going to be crowned with goodness. Praise God. Why? Because not only He loves you, He likes you. Praise God. Stand up with me for just a moment as we close. Say this. Say, I am so healthy. I am so healthy. I am so strong. I'm so full of life. I am so blessed. Praise God. Lord, as we leave today, we just thank You so much for Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy. Hallelujah. We thank You. Did you do something? Go ahead.
I get so caught up. Now, y'all mind, Papa Jim, right quick, Brother Lee, grab that communion. And listen, we're not rushing it, but we can take it. Let me ask you a question. When you pray over your food, like if you're going to go eat lunch here shortly, do you mean it when you pray over your food, or you just go through the motions? If you believe that your food is blessed, and for some reason something's done back in that kitchen you don't know about, and yet you believe that food is blessed and sanctified for your body, do you believe that there's a power enough in that prayer and the Word of God that it'll sanctify and separate that food where it won't harm you? Do you believe that? Well, let me ask you a question. How long do you pray over your meal? Just a couple of seconds, right? A minute? Do we really believe it? Does it work? We're not trying to rush communion. Do we really believe it? When we drink the cup and take the bread, does it matter? Does it have to take an hour and a half to do it? Not trying to rush it or belittle it just because we're at 12:20. But I want to say this to you because it's what we believe. I remember years ago, Brother Hagin said this. He said, it's not how long you pray necessarily, it's how quick you can believe. Are we thankful? We're grateful. And I'll share this. You talked about a translation. This came up to me. I want to say this to you. Pastor Buzzy gave me those translations. And I love this one. I can't quote. I'd have to look it up, but I'll get it very close. I know the last phrase of it. It's, you know, over there in the Luke where the Bible talks about Jesus, that the child grew in wisdom and in stature. And the greatness, he grew in wisdom and in stature, and the grace of God was with him. That's what the Scripture says. The one translation says, and the child grew, he was strong and plenty smart, and God liked him. You know what? Some people don't even like themselves. Sometimes we're unlovely. I'm talking about I've been unlovely sometimes, and the only reason because I didn't like me at the moment. I'm just being honest. I didn't like what I was dealing with. I didn't like the situation. And really, I was just sort of expressing that to others in a different way. But basically, I didn't like me at the time. But you know what? It's like Alan said a while ago. Guys, we have to get a spiritual mindedness about us. Let me tell you something. You're in Christ. You're one with Him. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, He loves you. And the Bible says that one translation, God, not only was God grace with him, God just didn't love him. He liked him. Sometimes we love people because we have to love them in the Lord, but we don't like them. I like that translation. God not only loves us, He likes you. You know, He likes you so much that He gave His life for you and me. You know, He loves you and likes you to such a degree that He allowed His body to be prepared as an offering. Broken, bruised, whipped and beaten to provide healing for our bodies. So Lord, today we receive this bread. We know this represents Your broken body. And when we take this, we take it by faith. We believe and receive of the very life and help and strength that it brings to us and our physical bodies. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Take that bread. In the same manner, Lord, Your shed blood was for the forgiveness and the removal of all of our trespasses, sins, mistakes, mess-ups, failures, so that that partition wall that would stand between us and God It would be an interference to all the blessings and the provision of God has been removed because your blood has cleansed and washed us and sanctified us and separated us unto yourself. And has provided a way that you have declared because of the blood of Jesus that our sins and iniquities you will remember no more. And therefore we can have boldness. We can approach you and our hearts can be fully assured in confidence in you, Lord, that you love us. And now we receive the blood. We drink that unto ourselves in faith, knowing that you love us and that you care for us. Now take. Lord, we approach this new year and we set ourselves in 2019 and we declare, as we've been talking about this morning, and Lord, the things we shared today, Lord, the bottom line, that we are aware of your presence. We're mindful of the things that you bring to our lives and how important they are to us. And it's all because you love us and it's all to profit us. It's so, as we were sharing on the heels of this, that our tree and our lives can bear fruit each and every day and each and every month. And we thank you for that today. We go in the grace of God. We go in the strength of the Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You're dismissed. Amen.